Father, we thank you today for your wonderful word, and we thank you for all the things that you teach us through it, dear Lord. And even today, we pray as we come to a passage that we already know well, we pray that you would speak to our heart again concerning your plan, Lord, and the way that you would have us to live and conduct ourselves here on this earth. And Lord, we just pray today that you will open our hearts to what you would say to us today, and that we would not miss an opportunity to share about you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now there is there's a responsive reading, and then there's the note thing. And you'll notice that today there's only one big blank for you to fill in, and you may fill it in as you wish or not fill it in at all. But today I decided to go less structured so far as the that part of it is. So you're just free to take any notes you want to take or not today. Certainly this is a story that we know well. How many have heard the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well before? You've heard it before? Probably heard sermons on it before? And I'm pretty sure I have spoken on it before. But as it is with all of Scripture, there are always new things we can see. And there's just something here, I don't know, maybe you've heard a teaching or a message along the lines of what I'll be sharing today. I haven't. And this is something that the Lord has just, impressed on me. Now, a lot of people do use this story a lot about how to witness to somebody. And they talk about how Jesus met the woman where she was. And he started talking about something of interest to her, which was water. And then he took it and he switched it over to a spiritual meaning. And one thing led to another. And of course, the ultimate result was that pretty much that whole village heard the gospel, and many of them came to a personal faith in the Messiah. So today we're not going to talk as much about that part of it, but rather just about the encounter itself and how unique it really was. I mean, for a Jewish rabbi to say something to a Samaritan woman in public, I mean, that would have been against every social convention there was. This is absolutely unimaginable. And only Jesus would do this. And that is pretty much the premise of what I have to share today, because this is what God has laid on my heart. So I'm working on two major premises here this morning. And the first one is, premise one is, had the Samaritan woman not heard the gospel from Jesus that day, it is unlikely she or any of the villagers would ever have heard the gospel. Now that should tell us something about the importance of one single encounter. And when it is God's timing and it is God's place, and he says to you, go and witness to that person, we need to obey. I remember my dad telling many years ago, when they were in Columbia, Pennsylvania, back when I wasn't born yet, back when probably my brothers were little or whatever, and there was this Italian brother there locally, a young fellow, and he was just really enthused for the Lord. And he told my dad, he said there was a cop that had that regular beat on foot every day right around the town square there. And he felt the Lord impressing on him, you need to go up and say something to that cop. So he didn't question it. You know, a lot of us would question something like that. He didn't question it. He went and he shared the gospel with that cop. And I can't remember if the cop was receptive or not, but he obeyed the Lord and he shared. And it wasn't but two or three days later that a car hit the cop right there on that beat, and he went into eternity just like that. And this brother said to my dad, I was so glad that I obeyed the Lord. I was so glad that I obeyed that inner urging and did what the Lord told me to do. Can you imagine the guilt he would have carried with him if he had felt that, had not done it, and then this happened? And And besides, it was the Lord's time. He wanted this man to hear the gospel. And this was just, he didn't go out that morning planning, I'm going to witness to a cop. No, he was already there. And in that moment, he felt that urging of the Lord. So I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, that's where we live. I mean, in our day-to-day things, sometimes some little unexpected thing will happen. Anybody ever had that happen? Some little unexpected thing will happen. You weren't planning that. You couldn't have planned that. And yet, in that moment, you will feel an urging from the Lord to share something. And I would say to you, better to share it and have that person get mad at you, blow up at you, and chew you out one up one side and down the other than to be disobedient to the Lord. You're not responsible for how a person responds. But if you approach them in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and you approach them and lovingly share the message, you have done nothing wrong. In fact, you have been obedient to the Lord. So my premise is that if this lady had not heard this message this day from Jesus, it is highly unlikely that she or any of the other villagers would ever have heard the gospel. So this was a unique opportunity. And premise number two, in this case, Jesus is probably the only person who would or could have shared the gospel with this lady. The social conventions against it were too strong. And we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. But I can think of at least eight, just right off the top, conventional reasons why this encounter should never have happened. According to the natural rules and things, this encounter should never have taken place. Four of them were from Jesus. There were four that I can think of on Jesus' side. Number one, he was a man. And it wouldn't have been proper in normal circumstances. Number two, he was Jewish. This lady's Samaritan. He's Jewish. So right there, you have the second reason it shouldn't have happened. Thirdly, he was a rabbi. And standards are higher, even today. Standards are a little higher for the preacher man than for the others. Am I right? Probably shouldn't be, but I'm just saying. In people's minds, at least, and in certain things, you know, it's considered that the rabbi behaves himself. And number four, he was a stranger. And that very often is just enough to keep us from striking up a conversation with anybody. Sometimes we're hesitant, you know, when we're a stranger. And then on the woman's side, almost the same in reverse. She was a woman. Number two, she was Samaritan. And as it says in the text, Jews normally wouldn't give a Samaritan the time of day. To call somebody a Samaritan was basically to call them something bad, you know. That was the opinion Jews had of Samaritans. Thirdly, on top of that, she was a woman of questionable reputation, and she was a stranger. So there were at least, you know, four and others, other reasons why this encounter should never have happened. And yet, it did happen. It broke the mold. But there are three reasons that this encounter did take place. And if you write anything down today, I would like for you to put these three down. Number one, the number one reason that this encounter took place is that the lady had a real need. Her need was not imagined. And let me tell you something. All of those people that you brush shoulders with every day, some of them may be well off, some of them may have a nice career, some of them may have two or three nice cars in the garage and a nice double level $345,000 house with a swimming pool and a privacy fence and a couple of dogs and all of that. And they may have money in the bank, but those people have a real need, and it is a need that only the Lord can meet. Uncle Sam can't meet that one. The president and Congress can't meet that one. Social and welfare programs can't meet that one. And they may be happy in a lot of ways, but they still have a very real need that needs to be addressed. And they have a very real need that only the Lord can meet. But this woman had a very real need. As we approach this story, it says, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. When these people heard he was making more disciples, he decided to go back to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. Well, that's an interesting statement, and Bible students have discussed it and are still discussing it today. Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? I don't have a map this morning of Palestine, but Judea, where Jerusalem was down in the southern part of the country. And Galilee was in the northern part of the country, up near the Lake of Galilee, which is where Jesus was from, and Samaria was in between. But precisely because so many Jews wanted to have no dealings with the Samaritans, and the feeling was pretty much mutual, whenever Galileans would travel down to Judea, a lot of times they would cross over to the east bank of the Jordan, go down that way, and then cross back over when they got down even with Judea. So unless there was some time restraint, which is doubtful, because in the end, Jesus stays 3 extra days in this village. So I don't think it was because he had a time restraint that he took the shortcut. I think that he tells us in this text why it was that he had to go through Samaria. And what I think is, when the disciples who had been in town, they had been down at the local deli, you know, getting some food and stuff while this exchange happened, and it was just kind of still going on when they got back, and they didn't know. And Jesus says to them, the disciples said, well, Lord, when she left, they said, Lord, we brought food. And he's like, I'm fine. I don't need any food. I have food you know nothing about. Verse 32. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus is saying here, my food is to finish my Father's work. I had an assignment and I just finished it, and that gives me great satisfaction. And that is why he had to go through Samaria, because he had an assignment from his heavenly Father. And then he says, do you not say that 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe to harvest. And of course, we know what he was talking about. The opportunities are right there. And this Samaritan woman was one of them. So, the lady had a real need. Number two, Jesus knew the nature of the lady's need. You say, huh, that's pretty basic. That's right. But did you know that most other people in this story were not aware of the lady's need? Did not know the nature of the lady's need? And then thirdly, Jesus had the answer to the lady's need. So he was qualified in order to have this encounter with her. But these are the three reasons why the encounter did take place, in spite of the fact that there were many reasons why it should not, in the natural, have taken place. She had a need, Jesus knew the nature of her need, and he had the answer to her need. And those three reasons to have the encounter trumped the 8 reasons not to. Now, how many of you have ever had an urging, and then your own mind gives you all these reasons why right now wouldn't be a good time to do it? Or right now isn't the time to do it. I've got 3 reasons that will trump any of them. But back to premise number 2. That Jesus is probably the only person who would or could have shared the gospel with this lady. Why I believe only Jesus would have shared the gospel with this lady. Reason number 1, the women of the village wanted nothing to do with her. Now, I don't think they knew the gospel. But even if they had, the women of this village, they wanted nothing to do with this lady. You'll notice when she leaves, who does she call? The men of the village, not the women of the village. Was it customary for women to carry water at noon in the heat of the day? No, it was not. You carried water in the morning, and you carried water in the evening when it got a little cooler. Why was this woman down at the well at all at 12 noon? Because that was a time when she could come down and not run into any other women of the town. Number two, the men of the village couldn't help her. They didn't know the gospel themselves. Her fellow villagers were not able to share the gospel with her. Number three, it's not likely the disciples would have shared the gospel with this lady, or that it even would have occurred to them to try. The social constraints against it were too strong. In fact, I'm guessing that the disciples thought that the gospel was for Jews only. And I do not believe that even if given the opportunity, that the disciples would have. Jesus is the only one in this story that would have approached the Samaritan woman. And aren't you glad she did? And what was the result of this? The result was that she came to a personal knowledge of and faith in the Messiah, and not only that, a good part of the village did as well. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Would you say this was an open door? And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is what? The Savior, capital S, of the world." Did they come to a personal saving knowledge of Jesus? Yes, they did. But in this case, Jesus was the only one in this story who would have or could have shared the gospel with this lady. Aren't you glad he shared the gospel with this lady that day? Now, where am I going with this? I'll tell you exactly where I'm going with this. By the way, if you want my notes, you can go on sncccc.org and you can get them there. Who has the Lord placed in your life that you are uniquely qualified to witness to and that no one else may even be concerned about? And it occurred to me as I read this story and saw these things that it is entirely likely that almost all of us have somebody in our life or somebody from a past association, even if they're out of state now, or from our childhood, or from whenever. And it could be that you are the only believer in their circle of association. It could be that you are the only person with ties to them that knows their need, that knows the nature of their need, and that has what it, you know, you have, like Jesus, the answer to their need. It may be that you are the only one. If you were the only one, would it not be a privilege to say, "Lord, even if there's no one else praying for this person today, I'm going to be praying for them. And even if there's nobody else aware of their need, Lord, thank you for laying them on my heart, and I'm going to pray for them. And if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to share the gospel with them." We always like to think that the people we associate with, well, there's somebody else in their life that cares. There may not be anybody else praying for them. So, if the Lord lays it on your heart, maybe it's even somebody you haven't seen in a long time or haven't heard from in a long time or whatever, but if the Lord lays somebody on your heart to pray for them, you pray for them. And if the Lord opens the door for you to communicate with them by any other means, how many ways do we have now? Facebook, email, texting, and who knows what else. We've got less excuse not to communicate with people now than we've ever had before. What do you think people text each other about? I'm sitting at a basketball game, and there's a mother and a daughter texting each other about the attitude of the dad who's sitting between them. People text about all kinds of things. I'm just saying. But the Lord will give us those opportunities. But maybe that hadn't occurred to you before. So think of some of those people you know that aren't believers. Is it possible you're the only one in their life that really is aware of their spiritual need or that the Lord has laid? You had better make the most of that opportunity. And if you act on it, you may just very well see the glory of God revealed. You may very well. And if they do not respond, just like the young man in our story starting out, at least you will know that you shared. Amen. So may the Lord use us everywhere. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I don't have a ministry, this, that, the other. Hey, the Lord has put you in a unique situation. You know people I don't know. You know people that probably nobody else in the church here this morning knows. There are every single one of us, God has put certain people across our paths. So the question is, how many of them don't know the Lord? And could it be that the Lord wants to work through you? Could it even be that you're the only one He could work through in that particular situation to bring that person to Himself? And if that is true, would you not want to be used of Him to see somebody come to the Lord? And if they come to the Lord, who knows how many others might come because of their testimony, just like here. Shall we pray? Father, we think a lot of it's about just what we see. We go through life and there's a lot of things around us we don't even see. Jesus saw the Samaritan woman. He saw her need. Disciples didn't see her. They were in town doing something else. And even if they had seen her, they would have probably just dismissed her and said, oh, that's just a Samaritan woman. But Jesus took the time. And thank you, Father, that you're that way. And you're always looking for that lost sheep. You're always looking for that one. And Lord, as we go through our daily stuff, Lord, just lay people on our hearts and save us from just going, taking those assumptions. Oh, they probably have a church. They probably have somebody in their family that's a believer. Maybe one of their other work associates knows the Lord and will witness to them or whatever it may be. No, Lord, let us take it seriously ourselves, and that we would, at a bare minimum, take these people to pray for, and then as you open opportunities. And there may be some natural reasons, yeah, why the encounter shouldn't happen, but you've got a few reasons of your own why it should. So, Lord, work in us. Use us in those places. You're not going to use us to places you haven't sent us. You're going to use us in the places where you have sent us and where you have put us, and we want to be available and we want to be used of you. Father, take your word today and use it in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.